No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this TGI Friday, August 16th. Thanks so much for spending a bit of your Texas time with us. I'm David Brown. Governor Greg Abbott is not known for being especially media-friendly, and by that I don't mean he's unfriendly, it's just that getting him to go on the record talking freestyle with reporters just doesn't seem to happen that often. Though, Governor, if you're listening, that open invitation to visit us still stands. You know we're just down the road a spell. When the governor does open himself up for questions, well, the setting tends to be one of his own choice, like the choreographed news conferences he held during the legislative session with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick and House Speaker Dennis Bonin. So last night's televised Q&A session in Tyler was something of a rare event indeed. Though it wasn't exactly meet the press, it was rather revealing. It was styled as a town hall broadcast statewide on Nexstar stations. The governor taking questions from the audience on a range of subjects, including property taxes, border security, spending, and a certain scandal involving that House Speaker I mentioned earlier. Dennis Bonin has been caught up in a controversy over allegations that he proposed a swap of House media credentials to a conservative activist in exchange for his help in undermining some fellow Republicans seeking re-election. At the request of a House committee, the Texas Rangers are investigating. Last night, the governor said calls for Bonin to quit are, in his words, premature. But, as you might imagine, the first question Governor Abbott faced in his town hall in Tyler had to do with an issue that has been on the minds of many Texans and many Americans since the August 3rd mass shooting in El Paso, in which 22 people were killed. Police say the shooter was targeting people of Hispanic heritage. The governor was asked last night what he will do to keep Texans safe.
We need to call this what it is and approach it for what it is, root out racist domestic terrorism, whether it be in El Paso or any other part of the state of Texas, and make sure this never happens again.
Part of the governor's solution has already been announced. Abbott revealed earlier this week that he would put together a domestic terrorism task force composed of federal, state, and local members of law enforcement and elected officials. He also plans to assemble roundtables of experts and stakeholders, mirroring the response he led after the 2018 shooting at Santa Fe High School. Here, he's answering a concern raised by someone at the town hall.
We will put every issue on the table. We will bring together the brightest minds to help us solve the issues that Jose was asking about, to make sure that we are going to be able to address head-on what caused this deranged killer to go to El Paso to commit this killing, and what we as a state can do.
What the governor apparently may not do, however, is call a special session on gun violence, despite several lawmakers asking him to do just that. Governor Abbott said last night that government doesn't require the legislature to be in session in order for it to work.
After the shooting in Santa Fe, after the shooting in Southern Springs, after Hurricane Harvey, we didn't rush in to have a special session. Legislators work full-time on legislation.
And while there's sure to be a flood of legislation proposed to curb shootings, it's unclear what the governor would be willing to support. He pointed out that so-called red flag laws, which allow law enforcement to remove weapons from people who may be a danger to themselves or others, would not have stopped the El Paso shooter. But in the Democratic response to the televised forum, Representative Joaquin Castro reiterated his party's support of such measures and called for more aggressive policies, too.
Today, Democrats and Republicans could put a plan on the table that enacts red flag laws so law enforcement has the tools to stop tragedy before it strikes. We could require universal background checks on all firearm purchases, and we could keep weapons of war off our streets.
Let's dig a little deeper if we can. We're going to bring in Victoria DeFrancesco Soto. She is the Director of Civic Engagement at the Lyndon B. Johnson School of Public Affairs, University of Texas at Austin. Professor DeFrancesco Soto, welcome back to the Texas Standard.
Thank you, David. Great to be with you.
Governor Abbott talking about getting to the root of the El Paso shooter's motives. He doesn't seem to be addressing much about when it comes to gun control squarely. He says he wants to respect Texans' Second Amendment rights. What's your translation of that?
Well, backing up a second, David, I think it was very important that Governor Abbott engaged with the Texas public. As you pointed out earlier, Governor Abbott isn't one of these elected officials that gets in with the electorate, that has a very close, warm connection. He's a little bit more distant. So I think the fact that he put himself out there in a town hall, even though it was structured, I think speaks volumes. not surprised in the least that he didn't tackle the gun control issue. I don't think we're going to see that happen. We are not Ohio. We are not a swing state. We're still a red state. So the governor's not going to come out saying, let's be open to background checks. But as a first step, I do think it was important that he said the R word, racism, that we have these factors that are pushing people to commit these hate-filled crimes. I didn't see too much of a solution of what do we do about it, a call to tone down rhetoric. There was a very interesting exchange when one person asked about, does the president need to change his tone to bridge racial divides? Mm-hmm. And Governor Abbott completely sidestepped that. But I think it is a good first step, especially given Abbott's leadership style.
I suppose we should point out, we have just a moment ago, that his call for roundtables, very similar to what he did in the aftermath of Santa Fe. Do you see this as meaningful and significant or not so much?
I think roundtables are good, but they shouldn't be an exclusion to other things. In terms of the task force, that also came about. And as an academic, I'm a little bit biased, but in forming this task force, which is supposedly to get at the root of what is going on here with this policy issue, it's great that we have elected officials and law enforcement, but we need folks who actually know the research, have done the data work of white supremacy, domestic terrorism. So for me, that was an incomplete task force. It's an okay first step. Roundtables are good. But then my question is, what are we going to see tangibly coming out of that? He's already narrowed the scope that he doesn't want to touch guns. So what else are we going to do? No red flags, no gun control, more mental health? I mean, probably, but we already saw that with the Santa Fe shooting. So I'm questioning what tangibly is going to come out of these roundtables and domestic task force.
I want to loop back to the domestic task force, but I don't want to let go of this idea that it seemed like Joaquin Castro was trying to hammer home, and that's the proposal, the red flag proposals, universal background checks for gun purchasers. Is this something that can gain traction finally among Texas Republicans, or is that the third rail of Texas politics?
Let's think back, David, to the Santa Fe shooting. And Governor Abbott, in the immediate aftermath of the Santa Fe shooting, said he was open to considering red flag law. So we can't forget that. So I think if there's any opening here, I think it is with the red flag laws. The background checks, I still don't see a political appetite for that in kind of the GOP-dominated Texas. But I do think there's a crack in the door because of what Governor Abbott said a year and some change ago to at least start with that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense that El Paso was a kind of turning point, tipping point for Texas in some way?
I do, but I think for certain electorates. I think that for the Democratic electorate, it was a galvanizing point, and in particular for Hispanic and in particular Mexican Texans, because the shooter literally was targeting them, was mm-hmm. literally mm-hmm. targeting folks like myself, Mexicans. So I think that this, in terms of sometimes that apathy that we see with voters, especially younger voters, minority voters, I think that this made it very real and real tangible that, you know what, politics and rhetoric is personal. It's about you, so you got to do something.
Let's loop back to that task force that we were discussing just a few minutes ago. It has been noted by many that this domestic terror task force that the governor has created features only Republicans, from what we can tell, and all white men, except for a South Texas sheriff. What do you make of that?
Well, Texas is a diverse state, so any task force, any body, any policymaking body should reflect the diversity of the state and the diversity of our ideas. So I think from the get-go, it's not reflective of who we are as a state. And then in terms of who this affects the most, the policies that we're seeing, the domestic terrorism, especially the racially motivated one, we have to bring the folks that are most affected by that to the table. Also, I think it was Poncho Navarrez, who is the chair of the Homeland Security State Committee, I believe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He wasn't asked to join, and this is in his wheelhouse. So there are a lot of head scratchers of, okay, great first step, we're doing a task force, but let's get the right people at the table. Because if you don't have the right voices at the table, we're not going to see a productive output from this task force.
Now, Governor Abbott did say that the roundtable discussions would include the El Paso state delegation, all of whom are Hispanic and Democratic, right?
Yes, but in my sense, the task force is the mothership. The task force is really what is going to be leading the charge in figuring out how we prevent tragedies like that happened in El Paso in the future. And the roundtables are supporting that task force. So, you know, if we're looking at the task force as the meaty piece here, mm-hmm. then let's give that the voice and the diversity that it needs to really be effective in a state like Texas.
Victoria DeFrancesco Soto, Director of Civic Engagement at the University of Texas at Austin's LBJ School for Public Policy. Professor, good to talk with you. Thanks again.
Thanks so much.